This psalm, it's got the word Lord written in two very different ways. One in capitals in the first line, it's got there, and then the lowercase there. When it's written in capitals, that's it's an English way of writing, a very strange name, but it's the name of God in the Old Testament, and I'm going to read it as Yahweh. I know some of you sing a song about Yahweh in your schools, or might have sung it in other churches, but that's what the name behind that spelling actually is, the Hebrew word. So I'll read that, so it helps us be clear between the capital letters, which is actually God's name, Yahweh, and then the just to call God Lord, because he's the boss, which is the different spelling. You'll understand as I read. So Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, Yahweh. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Yahweh, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for Yahweh. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in Yahweh. For with Yahweh is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Regulars know that often I've used my board for images during an all-age talk. So if there's any children want to come, have you got a question, Helen? Yeah. That's right. Yes. Yeah. So in the English version, it has the capital letters L O R D, but all of them, all four letters L O R D, are all in capital, and that is what's that? That is the way that the translators have put across this name of God, the name Yahweh. Which is different from when we say, when someone is a boss, we'll call them Lord. Does that make sense? So L-O-R-D with all four capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is actually translating the name of God. But yeah, thanks. I'm very happy to have questions. If I do something odd, do question what I'm doing. Yeah, the children need to move to the front. Any other children want to come to the front? I'm going to put my board out with some images on. You're welcome to come forward. We're going to see why I got you all to sit down in the way that I did from this psalm. Let's pray to ask God for help as we take care to, like the Bible has told us, take care how you listen. Don't harden your heart. So let's pray that we do that. Almighty God, we've heard that warning from the Bible, not to harden our hearts when we hear you speaking in the Bible. Please don't let us have hard hearts. We need your help to listen, to understand, and to accept that you are the God who's made us, and you know what's best, and you love us. And please help us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, at the beginning of the psalm, he asks for two things in those first two. He's really asking for one thing. What's he asking? He says, I cry out from the depths. He feels like he's close to death. So there he is, crying out from the depths. And what does he ask in verse 2? Hear my voice. Yeah, hear my voice. Hear my cry for mercy. Help me. And we're going to find out what he's asking for. And there's two big ideas that come up, two big Bible ideas that come up. The first is that all humans are guilty. All humans do what is wrong. That is what the Bible calls sin. Verse 3. Lord, if you, Yahweh, there's the name. If you, Yahweh, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? A sin is the Bible word for when we think God can't be trusted and so we won't listen to him. As someone putting their fingers in there, we looked at that picture last week, didn't we? And if I do that, what am I saying to you? Yeah, I'm not listening. It's a sort of picture language, isn't it? I'm not listening to you. I don't want to hear it. But fingers in our ears. He can't be trusted. And so when we do that, we do things God says is wrong. We tell lies. We do things that hurt other people. even the people we care about. We grumble and complain about life. We take more than is our fair share. All of those are things that show we don't trust God. Those are actions. The Bible calls them sins. And so the person who's written this psalm is realizing that the big problem in life, it's not that I'm sick. Maybe I am. It's not that I do bad things that make me upset or that hurt the people that I love. Those are big problems. But the biggest problem, he's crying out from the depths, Yahweh, hear me, Lord, listen to my cry, because of his problem of sin. That's the big problem. And he says, Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who could stand? And what's the answer? I said this earlier. Who could stand? No one. So we all sat down, didn't we? We all sat down. I sat down as well. Because this is true for me, it's true for all of us. If God was looking out to find if people are doing wrong, no one could stand in his presence. None of us. Because all of us have got this problem. We all sin. Everyone. Yeah. If you're rich, if you're poor, if you're black, if you're white, if you're male, if you're female, if you're old, if you're young, all of us have this same problem. If God was on the watch for sins, no one could stand. We'd all be like dead leaves blown away. Because we all sin. Now the news, if you read a newspaper or if you watch it on the internet, TV, it's full of other people's sin, isn't it? And aren't they terrible? What other people do? That's what it's telling us. But just stop for a minute and think about the wrong you've done and the wrong I've done. Then you know you couldn't stand before God as well. That's what this is saying. Lord, if you, Yahweh, if you kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? Now, we know this, and all people have a deep, what would you say, is a deep instinct. That means we, without thinking about it, we do this thing. We try to make excuses. And there's different sorts of excuses people make. Some people, it's blame the devil. Oh, I got angry with that driver. The devil made me get angry with that driver. It wasn't the devil that made you get angry with the driver. You got angry. You are guilty before God for that. People say that the situation they were in made them do it. I was tired. They wound me up. It wasn't my fault. No, it was your fault. You did it. And you could think about that, that it's your fault. Some people will say, well, they're worse than me. Or if maybe if someone's pointed out you've done something wrong, you might say, well, you did it as well. Let's make it okay. It just means we're both bad, doesn't it? Some people will even say, well, I know the Bible says that thing's wrong, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. None of us can stand before God. We are all in the wrong before him. Now, if God didn't care about sin, then sin wouldn't matter. But we've sung this morning from an idea from the Bible, God is a holy God. We can't be friends because of our sin. It does matter. God hates sin and is angered by it. So that's the first big idea. We're all guilty. Any other? I think we've got some words here. Here we go. Two big truths. One, we're all guilty. We're all blamed. But he is forgiving. He has unfailing love. And that's the second wonderful truth. God forgives. So verse 3 again. If you, Yahweh, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? Verse 4. But with you there is forgiveness. With you there is forgiveness. So I can pray to God. You can pray to God. No matter how bad our sin, no matter how deep our sin. And we can do that because we're asking him for mercy, which means being kind to people who've done wrong. So if you're speaking to God for mercy, that's something for anyone who's done wrong. It's for people who know they've done wrong. It's mercy is when God gives us what we don't deserve. He lets us free when we should be kept prisoner. He gives us life when we have actually chosen death. When we have run away, he welcomes us home. That's his mercy. Or forgiveness is there in verse 4. But with you there is forgiveness. Forgiveness is when someone's done a bad, maybe they've done something bad to me or someone I love. But if I forgive them, I say, well, I'm not going to keep bringing it up. I'm not going to go on about it. I'm not going to tell others about it all the time. And I'll do my best to get on with you. That's how forgiveness should be between us. Now, if I say, oh, it's okay what you've done, and then I just immediately go and tell someone else about it, and next time I see you, I remind you about it, and I'm always prickly and difficult with you, I've not forgiven you. Forgiveness is when we do those things. I'm not going to keep bringing it up. I'm not going to tell others. I'm going to try and get on with you. Now, God paid the cost to be forgiven. Jesus came to die instead of sinners. That was the cost. And that makes forgiveness. And so Jesus dying makes those two things that are on the board there both true at the same time. We're all guilty. God doesn't ignore our sin or say it doesn't matter or excuse it. He doesn't agree with our excuses. He hates sin. But Jesus pays the price. And so we can be forgiven. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Did you know that? It wasn't an accident. It was God's deliberate plan so that the cost for sin would be paid so that we could be forgiven. Now, there's an amazing thing in this passage that I never knew until this week. Look with me at verse 4 and see what happens because of that. Verse 4, but with you there is forgiveness so that we can with reverence serve you. The forgiveness of sins means God's people with reverence can serve him. And the idea here is we can fear God. Look back at, on the same page, Psalm 128 verse 1. Blessed are all who fear Yahweh, who walk in obedience to him. Fearing Yahweh or reverencing him and serving him means we think right about him. Big, big ideas about God. He knows everything. Every single thought we have, any time, any place. So he knows about our sin. He is good. Absolutely nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong in him. No one can tell him a new idea. No one will ever say something, God, well, I never thought of that. No, never considered. He is the one who has the plans behind the way the world will work. And so we should do whatever he asks. If we're thinking right about him, should do whatever he asks, even if others aren't watching us. That's a surprising thing, isn't it? Would you do what God wants us to do, even when other people aren't there noticing? That's showing you've got reverence for God, to fear him. We think about him right, and we use our lives the way he's made us to use them. Now, the Bible says this thing I never realized before this week. Verse 4, it's saying this idea. If you watch for sins, who would stand? So verse 3 and 4. If you watch for sins, who would stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that with reverence we can serve you. Or so that you can be feared. I wouldn't put it that way, nor would you probably. But any other? Can we have this slide? Here we go. We think, on this left side, if you watch for sins, who could stand? That means you should be feared. We think about God like that, that God's out watching for, he could watch for sins, and that's dangerous for us, so we need to fear him. The Bible doesn't say it like that. The Bible says, if you watch for sins, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness. And that means you can be feared. That's what the Bible says. Or the way it's put it here, so that you can be served with, in reverence you can be served. That's strange, isn't it? Have you understood that? I've learned that this week. We keep getting this wrong. You see, we get afraid of that God's going to find us out. And we do good things in our lives because we're afraid we might get caught. But that's not how God treats us. God forgives us so that with reverence we will serve him. That's the Christian way, the Bible way. Once we come into relationship with him, then we know him properly. And with reverence we can serve him, we can fear him. See, after being forgiven, we fear God in the right way, not fear of being caught. See, if all I'm afraid of is being caught and being afraid of punishment, it makes me scared to admit I've done anything wrong. It makes me avoid the person I've upset. I'm afraid of that punishment. If children know, children, if you are told, any time you say anything that you've done wrong, there's going to be a terrible punishment, what are children going to learn? They're going to learn to lie. Because they don't want to admit there's something wrong. We don't understand that if we don't understand we sin, we don't know God properly. We can't reverently serve him. God shows there is a right and a wrong when he sent Jesus to die. It does matter. If we know that, then we start to know God. If we don't know that, we can't know him. We can't in reverence serve him. But Jesus dies so that we can have forgiveness. And that helps us cope with this first idea that we're all in the wrong. I can face God without being afraid. I can face the truth about me. And that means I can live the way I'm meant to live. And so can you. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, hold on, I know this idea of God forgives. And some people will say, if God forgives, that sounds like it doesn't matter what I do. If God forgives, I can just do what I want. What's the point of doing good if you're just going to be forgiven anyway? And so we tell people, don't do what's wrong. But that just leaves people full of fear of being caught. And that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible knows what we're like. And he sent his son to die so that you can be forgiven. And when you know those things, then you can, with reverence, serve him truly. It's wonderful, isn't it? I hope you think it's wonderful. So, what's the lessons for us? Let's not make excuses. Blame other people. Blame the devil. Blame the situation. We can be honest with God. And we can start to be more honest with each other that we've messed up. So it's true so often, isn't it? My son and daughter-in-law came to visit us this week. I had to say sorry to him on Friday. I had to say sorry to him on Saturday. Keep messing up, don't we? He was good. He forgave me. But let's admit our sin. And let's trust that God forgives. That he is a merciful God. Some of us need to hear the first thing, those two truths. Some of us need, could we go back any earlier to the previous one? Some of us need to remember we're all guilty because we've forgotten that. And we're just full of excuses. Some of us need to remember, no, God forgives. And we can be honest with him and it's dealt with. And when we remember both of those things, then we can serve him truly in reverence. But please ask me questions afterwards. I think it's an extraordinary thing in the Bible. I've learned something this week. I hope you have learned something by looking at that verse. Just go away and read about it and think about it a bit more. Email me your questions if you've got any from that. Last two verses. We should look at the last verses. They're in the Bible. God's given them to us. So verse 5. I wait for Yahweh, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. What, anyone ever worked a night shift? Who's worked a night shift? Some of us have worked night shifts. Night shifts are long. But this is a night shift for someone who's watching out for the enemies coming to attack the city. They're desperate to get to the morning, because if they get to the morning, then it means they're safe. The enemies haven't come. And the man who's written this is saying, more than that, I'm longing to see the Lord. I'm longing to hear his word of welcome and forgiveness. More than those people long for that. And so he says to everyone of God's people, verse 7, Israel, put your hope in Yahweh, for with Yahweh is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Redemption is another word for God having mercy and forgiving and welcoming home. And so it's saying, everyone, trust this like I trust it. Let's have a moment's quiet to think about those wonderful things from the Bible, and then I will lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Bible helps us to know you, to know what you're really like, and to know what we're really like, and to understand this way that we can have life the way you meant it to be. Please teach every one of us here to know that our sin is wrong, and that it's our fault, that we have to admit it. But please teach us as well that you are God who forgives. That's why you sent Jesus to die. And so let it be that everyone in our church here, that all of us properly fears you, properly knows you and knows what life is for, because we've understood these things. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.